Okay, it's Sunday morning. This is May the 27th, 2018, and I'm going to talk about alternative medicine this morning. First, I want to talk to you about, we've kind of touched on it and everything we've done this morning, other teachings and words, but this is Propaganda 101 is the name of this article, Operation Mockingbird. Operation Mockingbird, from what I hear, I haven't read the documents. It's real hard to, they're so old, it's real hard to read them. And so I'd heard someone say the other day that Operation Mockingbird actually came out in the JFK files that they just released. And that's where the blue pill, red pill came in, because Mockingbird was an operation during his administration also. And this is what he was going to come against, and what caused actually his assassination. It says here, most Americans are under the influence of TV and radio sources for the daily dose of propaganda, not understanding they're being lied to and made to believe a lie. It becomes a formidable task to get folks to see the light. They want to see, it's just the lie is so big, so pervasive at this point, it is hard for people to grasp the size of the depth and breadth the lie has reached. For me and you may disagree, propaganda is nothing more than a lie that has been presented as truth and is intended to influence how people live and think. As you read, you will see that I use the words lie and propaganda interchangeably. They are the same thing for the purpose of this article in my life. While researching another article, I came across an article that came straight out of minds of the CIA and Operation Mockingbird. President Kennedy said, I'm going to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces. Within a week, the man was assassinated. If you are unaware of Operation Mockingbird, a question whether the mainstream media, think CNN, Fox, CBS, NBC, ABC, and newspapers like the Tribune, the LA Times, the New York Times, Reuters, and so many others, are manipulated by the CIA and Operation Mockingbird. And he says, please explain this. Former Washington Post publisher Philip Graham, it cut off part of it. Sorry about that. Didn't realize it cut it off. Well, anyway, you get the crux of what I'm talking about. This is the narrative that we have lived under our whole lives. They've called the shots, and they are bought and paid for. And most all of the journalists nowadays are CIA operatives, SES agents. And some of them are in Congress, some are in the Senate. They got them placed all throughout, kind of like these plants that were in the Trump, like their campaign. They say there's at least two spies sent to sabotage his campaign. That's what the indictments are being that have been brought out right now, that the Congress is calling for to do a probe into them meddling in his election. And it's a truth. It went all the way to the top. Obama was right in the middle of it. So as this is coming out, there are going to be a lot of people going to jail just over that. That's not counting everything else, you know. But anyway, it says, let's take a closer look at how the mainstream media and Operation Mockingbird set policy, distract people, and use wordplay to create rainbow spewing unicorns in a world that is falling apart and on the brink of economic collapse. Starting with social media, this article was shared on FBI over 1,700 times and tweeted over 100 times. It was also shared through other social media networks over 330 times. This is a new key element in spreading lies and making lies into truth. If you have several social networks spreading lies as truth, it is going to be extremely difficult to break the cycle due to the fact that all of their friends believe the same lie. This lie, I know I have friends, or one in particular, that they just really, whatever they hear on the news, they just take it as gospel. This lie is now growing and will continue to grow for some time. It will never go away on these networks, and there's always an opportunity for it to begin spreading again, even after it's gone through its first cycle. For instance, the Russian thing, the Russian collusion, it's like, it didn't matter. That's why, you know, the little cartoon with the two little dogs, you know, on social media, two little dogs, and they're looking in the camera, and the question's being asked, who pooped in the hall, and the dogs are saying the Russians did it. You know, it's just the Russians, the Russians, the Russians, the Russians, you know. The examples that follow were all taken from the same article, as it presents a classical example of CIA propaganda. Here is an example of how the lie begins. Start with an emotional charge, sprinkle in what appears to be a reputable source, and throw in a survey to tie it in all together. It's kind of like with the Russian thing. Come to find out, there was no intel to even support opening a what do they call it? Yeah, but it was called something. They were investigating. They couldn't even open an investigation without proper intel. There wasn't even any intel. They made it up. I think they believed their own lies, evidently. So, I mean, they just keep hitting the same thing. Well, the ice caps are melting, you know, that global warming. You can just think about there's, like I said, you could go online. I could have books and volumes of books of just this kind of stuff. Here's one on fracking. You know, there's just anything to discredit, to make it look like what they say is right and what any other voice says is wrong. And you get the people to believe in all of that. Now, we've talked about what happens when we believe something. We start speaking it. Okay. Operation Mockingbird, the CIA's history of media manipulation. Operation Mockingbird was a CIA program that enlisted more than 400 American journalists, as well as journalists around the world, to manipulate public opinion by spreading propaganda, or what we call it today, fake news. In an era of fake news and revelations of Facebook sharing user information to outside sources in an apparent attempt to influence voters for elections, the veracity of what we see in the media is more crucial than ever. But is this a new phenomenon? The CIA's love affair with manipulating news. I mean, this has been going on. I mean, this is what World War II. This is what happened in Hitler Germany. As far back as the end of World War II, the Central Intelligence Agency has played a major role in news media here in the U.S., as well as in foreign nations, exerting considerable influence over what the public sees, hears, and reads on a regular basis. Operation Mockingbird was an alleged large-scale program within the CIA to manipulate news media for propaganda purposes. The program is thought to have been born out of the CIA's forefather, the Office of Strategic Services, their OSS, which existed from 1942 to 1947. During World War II, Operation Mockingbird had established a network of journalists and psychological warfare experts operating primarily in the European theater. Other possible origins include the early years of the Cold War, which began in 1947, when efforts were made by the governments of the Soviet Union and the United States to use media companies to influence public opinion internationally. Operation Mockingbird is thought to have officially begun as its own entity in the early 1950s, funding student groups, culture clubs, and magazines as front organizations. Operation Mockingbird Exposed. Mockingbird's strategies and many ties have since become public knowledge through several high-profile investigations and exposés. One of the first discoveries of the covert motives of Operation Mockingbird occurred in 1967 when an article in political and literary magazine Ramparts reported that the National Student Association receiving funding from the CIA. Throughout the decade, several investigations would probe the CIA's ties with the news media. Among the most prominent reports were Carl Bernstein's lengthy 25,000-word cover story detailing Operation Mockingbird, published in Rolling Stone on October 20th, 1977. So anyway, I just wanted you to see here that this is reaching all over the world, this stuff. It's not just, it said Watergate begins the decline of Operation Mockingbird, but I think, you know, now we've got stuff that's far worse than Watergate ever thought about being, you know, that's going on. So anyway, I want you to be aware of the propaganda machine and how we've come to some of the conclusions we have. We've been grained in it all our life. Okay, operation or alternative medicine. I'm going to start in Exodus chapter 4. We're going to begin with verse 1. Everybody there? And Moses answered, "Behold, they will not believe me or listen to and obey my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" Sometimes that's the way I feel when it comes to combating all this propaganda that the world has been fed, even the church. When they hear the word of God, they say, "Well, what, you know, that couldn't be the Lord." The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." He said, "Cast it on the ground." He did so, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, "Put forth your hand and take it by the tail." And he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. "This you shall do," said the Lord, "that the elders may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has indeed appeared to you." And the Lord also said to him, "Put your hand into your bosom." He put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. And God said, "Put your hand into your bosom again." So he put his hand back into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored as the rest of his flesh. Then God said, "If they will not believe you or heed the voice or the testimony of the first sign, they may believe the voice of the witness of the second sign. But they will also not believe these two signs or heed your voice. You shall take some water of the river Nile and pour it upon the dry land, and the river which you take out of the river Nile shall become blood on the dry land." And Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I am not eloquent or a man of words, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and have a heavy and awkward tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and will teach you what you shall say." And he said, "O my Lord, I pray you send by the hand of some other whom you will send." Then the anger of the Lord blazed against Moses. He said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know he can speak well. Also, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be overjoyed." So Moses, in his day, Lord gave him supernatural means to be able to show those that were in the system, under Pharaoh's system, under Satan's system, under his falsities, things to do, just like in Jesus' day. Jesus went about doing good, healing. Miracles were in his ministry. That's what started pulling the people out of the world and its ways into God's ways. Okay? He gave him the rod. The rod is a symbol here. A branch as extending, a tribe, also a rod, rather for chastening, figuratively correcting, or walking, a staff, figuratively a support of life, bread, rod, staff, or a tribe. So I saw this as the word of God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, you're give us this day our daily bread. The word of God. Okay, John 10:10. Or John 10:1-10. Anybody need to take a sabbatical? There's only one way. John 10:1 says, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold but climbs up some other way, elsewhere from some other quarter, is a thief and a robber. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the door for this man. The sheep listen to his voice and heed it, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never on any account follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers or recognize their call." Jesus used this parable illustration with them, but they did not understand what he was talking about. So Jesus said again, "I assure you, Most solemnly I tell you that I myself am the door for the sheep. All others who came as such before me are thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to and obey them. I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved, will live. He will come in and go out freely and will find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. Okay, there's only one way, and it's Jesus. His rod and his staff. He is the Word of God. He is the bread. Okay. Now let's look back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 7. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm going to make you as God to Pharaoh to declare my will and purpose to him, and Aaron, was your brother, shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron, your brother, shall tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his hand. And I'll make Pharaoh's heart stubborn and hard and multiply my signs, my wonders, and miracles in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not listen to you, and I will lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my host, my people, the Israelites, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the Israelites from among them." And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Prove your authority by a miracle,' then tell Aaron, 'Throw your rod down before Pharaoh that it may become a serpent.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did as the Lord had commanded. Aaron threw down his rod before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh called for the wise men skilled in magic and divination, the sorcerers, wizards, and jugglers, and they also, these magicians of Egypt, did similar things with their enchantments and secret arts. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened and stubborn, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is hard and stubborn. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning. He will be going out to the water. Wait for him by the river's brink, and the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, heretofore you have not listened. Thus says the Lord, and this you shall know, recognize and understand that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod in my hand the waters in the Nile River, and they shall be turned to blood. The fish in the river shall die, and the river shall become foul-smelling, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink from it." The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, rivers, pools, and ponds of water, that they may become blood, and there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt in containers both of wood and of stone.'" Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. Aaron lifted up the rod and smote the waters in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and all the waters in the river were turned to blood. And the fish in the river died, and the river became foul-smelling. The Egyptians could not drink its water, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same by their enchantments and secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was made hard and obstinate, and he did not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug around about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the Nile. 7 days passed after the Lord had smitten the river. So it goes on and on, 10 plagues of them trying to do their magic arts, God's word prevailing. Won't you pause it just a minute? All right, I'm going to look at God's medicine and Satan's alternative. This is what happened when Moses went before Pharaoh. The magicians could do some of what they did, but not totally, because God's word swallowed up the serpents. As we see later, they could make more blood. They could make more flies, more frogs, but they could not bring any alternative to do anything that was lasting or good. So we're going to look at it in that respect. Witchcraft. This is what witchcraft is. A spell, to whisper, to incant, to practice magic. Okay. All right, in Galatians 5:20, witchcraft there. Let's go ahead and look at Galatians 5:20. Talking about the works of the flesh, it says idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, faction, sex with peculiar pains and heresies, and it goes on and on. So witchcraft there actually means pharmakia, which is means medication or magic. The word of God is God's medicine. Proverbs 4:20, he sent his word and healed us. It brings health and healing to all our flesh. Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Okay. Anything else is a thief and a robber. Anything else is an alternative. Webster says it's about witchcraft. The use of sorcery or magic influence or fascination. Witch's brew is a potent or fearsome mixture, pills, lotions, and potions. Sorcery is to practice magic. This is what it says, that's the Strong's. Webster says sorcery is the use of power gained from the assistance or control of evil spirits. Magic. God's way is the rod, the word. Alternative medicine is witchcraft. Moses or Jannes or Jambres. This is 2 Timothy 3:8. Well, this would be a popular subject in some circles this morning. Want to clear a room? Now, just as Jannes and Jambres were hostile to and resisted Moses, so these men also are hostile to and oppose the truth. They have depraved and distorted minds and are reprobate and counterfeit and to be rejected as far as the faith is concerned. And it gives the reference of Exodus 7:11 that I read. Witchcraft. Pharmacist. It's witchcraft. They dish out the brew. Pharmacy, where they sell the brew. The pushers of drugs, this is a pharmacy. How much witchcraft are they involved in? Just a little or a lot? How much? It made me want to clean out every pill that I have in our house. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And we know that Saul, we're talking about works of the flesh, works of the spirit, the work of the flesh, God sees as witchcraft. It's as the sin of rebellion. Witchcraft is as the sin of rebellion. Rebellion against God's ways, God's plans. Go read about Saul. We've been looking at it for weeks. The Lord set this up. I don't set this up. God sets it up so that you'll see it in the right light. Rebellion, it means bitterness. Refusing God's way, succumbing to the other master. You choose. Matthew 6:24 says to choose. We live in a medicated, drugged society. This is part of Satan's plan to sidetrack man. Maybe it's time to clean your house. Acts 19. Verse 18. Many also of those who were now believers came making full confession and thoroughly exposing their former deceptive and evil practices. And many of those who had practiced curious magical arts collected their books and throwing them book after book on the pile, burned them in the sight of everybody. When they counted the value of them, they found it amounted to 50,000 pieces of silver, about $9,300. Thus the word of God concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation of the kingdom of God grew and spread and intensified, pervading mightily. Why? They got their witchcraft out. They cleaned their house. They cleaned the things out of their life that were still hanging to those old practices. Now, this world system is under the God of this world, who is the one. What he does, what Jannies and Jambres did, was witchcraft. And that's what the root of our pharmaceutical, Big Pharma. They push Big Pharma. They want you to stay sick and keep, not quite get well, but just keep coming back. And so you get addicted to the drugs, and you just keep on the drugs, and you just never get free, but they're getting lots of money off of you. They charge you in a hospital $250 for a pill that costs them 2 cents to make. The Lord's just saying it's time to get your eyes open a little more to the truth. This might change your mind about how you see doctor visits and different things. It's not an alternative. A lot of people see it as that. Like I said, in a couple of days, if something's not right, they're going to hightail it to the doctor. It's kind of like when I listened to Keith Moore's series on rebellion. He said, you know, we just practice a little witchcraft around here, you know, just a little bit. Well, if we've got all kinds of drawers and cabinets full of every kind of aid there is to reach to instead of the Word of God, you say you want to come up higher. You say you want God's glory in your life. Do you really? How much do you want it? Are you willing to come up higher in your thinking about things? Instead of grabbing for that comfort aid, go see the witch and get you a little brew. A little bottle of brew. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. I said, oh, Lord, we're going to have fun tomorrow. He's trying to teach us whenever we have things that come into our lives that we don't like, that we have to confront, is to stand with the Word of God. And the reason sometimes we don't see manifestations is because in an hour or two, if we hadn't seen what we want, we'll grab whatever we need to take to fix the problem. That is not God. And I don't be a lot of people to argue down the ground, preachers too, about that simple fact, but the fact is there is no alternative medicine. Pharmacia in the Greek means witchcraft. So going in the hospital is kind of like going into the witch's coven, I guess. Now, you know, God is gracious, and he does bring us out a little at a time and get us loose from these things. But this is the very system that's going to lead people to hell. This is going to be a biggie in the end of days. You will not be allowed any kind of anything without the mark. And if you take the mark, you're doomed. There's no hope for you. You will spend the rest eternal. Some people think, well, what difference does it make? It makes a lot, because if you're dependent on that medicine, or you're dependent on the lies they've told you that causes that, they're questioning everything now. Every kind of disease and everything in the medications they prescribe. I've seen stuff on diabetes, heart stuff. They make up these lies to get you hooked, to believe the lie. Then you take their brew. Then you get addicted to their brew, and you can't live without their brew. And I'll take anything to get my brew. Oh, if I don't get it, I'll die. It's so sad that it's really the truth. I'm telling you, this is the first thing the Lord began to speak to me to teach to the body of Christ. 1994. It hadn't changed. It might have gotten a little broader in spectrum, a little better at teaching, but it's the same message. He said, bring people out from the strongholds of their minds. Bring them out of Egypt. Bring them out of the system. This is what this is all about here this morning. It's not to try to keep you from getting something. And like I say, if you go to the Lord and you don't know that your faith is there, ask the Lord what to do. And if He sends you, then go in faith. But this is the goal, to get us dependent off of a system that is not God's. Total dependency on His system, His ways. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything. I don't want anything of the devil in my life. Just think if he did it all at once. The shock. It's kind of like being red pilled. You've been blind all your life and heard lies all your life, and all of a sudden there's some truth bombs being laid on you, and it's like you just, I can't take it. I can't already take it. I saw something about Epstein Island. They went in there and found all these children all in these little cells, all tied up, and freed these children. And I got to thinking about that, and it was nearly unbearable to think about what, because President Trump, this executive order was, he said it's about the children. And Q said it's about the children. I'm thinking, these little, I know about abortion, how horrible it is, but could this be any more horrible than what's going on with these little babies, these little children? And I said, oh, Lord, Lord, this red pill part of this is just nearly more than I can bear. What can we do? I said, Lord, I pray for the children. We need to pray for the children. Our own children have been led like lambs to the slaughter, and people have just turned a blind eye, and they don't know anything, don't care to know anything, don't want to know. We're talking Christians. I'm not talking people of the world. I'm just talking. Yeah, the devil, his aim is to take us all out, lead us all right straight to hell. But praise God, his day is over, because we're getting our eyes open and we're coming out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, they started seeing things. A lot of times when you're in it, it's like the frog in the kettle. You don't know. You're being cooked to death, and you don't realize you are till you come out of it. So there is no alternative for God in His ways. There is no alternative. So just let that sink in. And I think that'll do for today.